You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, we'll be talking with Dr. John Reed about some of the adverse emotional and interpersonal effects experienced from using antidepressants. Later in the show, we're going to be joined by Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, and Blake Ricketts, who is and was Larry Scott's lifelong business partner, to pay homage to the passing of Larry Scott. Just want to remind everybody, get the Superhuman Radio Network app for free at Google Play or the Apple iStore for your iPad or iPhone. You can manage the podcast, listen to the live stream, interconnect with the radio show, and send me personal messages using the message interface. So check that out. Dr. John Reed, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, Carl.
My pleasure. You know, antidepressants are probably one of the most popular drugs out there today, maybe second only to statin drugs. And so many people have prescribed antidepressants for such a variety of different reasons. What made your group want to see what some of the unintended side effects were?
Well, along with many other mental health professionals, we've been long concerned about the overprescribing of antidepressants and other psychiatric drugs, and the medicalization of human distress and sadness. And we're also aware that the adverse effects have been most researched are the biological, physical ones, such as dry mouth, weight gain, and so forth, headaches. There's lots of them, and they're important and disturbing. But there's been very little research into how these drugs actually make people feel and what effect they have on their day-to-day lives and interactions with other people.
And that's counterintuitive, because these drugs are all about altering the way people feel and perceive their world. I want to mention something, too, and I'm glad that you said it. I've said on this show over the past 9 years, from time to time, when talking about antidepressants, it is an appropriate response to be sad sometimes to the occurrences of life. This idea that we need to medicate ourselves when we're sad is really unusual to me. And the analogy I always use on the show, if you were sitting and watching a very funny movie and you were belly laughing uncontrollably, and someone came to you and said, you know, you need to take a pill because you're laughing way too hard, that would be the flip side of why some people are prescribed antidepressants. That there are real reasons in life to be sad sometimes.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I teach my undergraduate students that depression is caused by depressing things happening.
Yeah.
And they look at me a bit strange. I then obviously go on to say that, yeah, there are other things involved, because two people can experience the same depressing event, and one will end up very depressed and one won't. So there are other factors. They're not biological or genetic factors, as the drug companies and psychiatry would have you believe. They're social factors, and the main predictor of who gets sad in a situation like that, or gets extremely sad, is how many other depressing things they've happened just prior to the depressing event we're talking about. But what we've been sold, really, is this chemical imbalance idea, for which there is actually very little evidence. But let's suppose there was. If I have two or three people that I'm very close to die in the course of a year, I will be very, very sad. And my brain will operate differently for that period. so will the rest of my body. My metabolism will slow down. My dopamine system will change. And along comes the zealous biological researcher and finds that something's going on in my brain. And then they say, that's the cause of your depression. And that is very, very simplistic and really quite silly thinking, because the cause of my depression is clearly the fact that three people have died and my brain is responding to that. But we have this rather, as I say, simplistic approach in psychiatry that if you can find something going on in the brain, then that's somehow the cause of things. It's very simplistic and unhelpful logic.
I have to say something, and I'm not pandering to you, but I find this discourse very refreshing. I didn't know there were actual people in the psychological category who felt this way, who thought this way. I just assumed that everybody was using the DSM to expand the range of normal human functions that they could start treating. And I have to tell you, you're very refreshing. Are there others like you, or are you a small minority?
Well, it depends where you live, I'm afraid, Carl. I have to say that the United States has the most biological approach to mental health problems in the world. Elsewhere, it's not at all uncommon for psychologists and some psychiatrists to understand the obvious fact that mental health problems are caused by bad things happening. When we've done surveys of various countries around the world of the public, including America, the public understands that mental health problems are caused by social events. When you show them a video of someone who's very depressed or even psychotic and say, what's caused this, they immediately come up with things like stress in the family, stress at work, childhood neglect, unemployment, and all those sorts of things. So it's only the public get it. The patients understand it. So if you ask most patients what's caused their problems, they'll tell you what's gone on in their lives. But we do have one profession, which is psychiatry, which is, I'm afraid, has really sold their soul to the drug companies and forgotten about the importance of people's lives and has completely bought a very simplistic biological model.
Boy, your students are lucky to have you. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to turn out a bumper crop of really critical thinkers, and that's the last thing the pharmaceutical agenda wants is critical thinkers out there. We have to take a break to stay on the clock here, but when we come back, before we start talking about the actual study itself, I want to talk about this notion of the effects of antidepressants when you're trying to treat the way people feel, that these drugs actually may not be helping, first of all. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side with Dr. John Reed. Dr. John Reed is affiliated with the Institute of Psychology, Health, and Society at the University of Liverpool. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25-pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to superhumanradio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. John Reed about the effects of antidepressants on interpersonal and emotional areas of life. Dr. Reed, it's well understood within the medical community, at least to those who believe in one of the edicts of the Hippocratic Oath, that a physician should first do no harm with any treatment. But it's clear that, and what sparked this research, that these drugs that are designed to treat people and make people who are not feeling or perceiving their environment well, to make them feel and perceive their environment better, but in fact have quite often not that effect. Doesn't that alone make physicians culpable for pulling back on prescribing these drugs?
Well, I think there's no doubt that physicians are over-prescribing these drugs. But we can't just blame them. I think we do put pressure on them very often when we go to the doctor. If we come away without a pill these days, we're disappointed. So we have to take responsibility as well. But, yes, the physicians they need to fully inform people about the adverse effects. And in our study, we found that that was quite rare, that any of the effects. Well, that's not fair. They did tell them about some of the biological effects like dry mouth and weight gain. But hardly any of our nearly 2,000 people were told anything about feeling emotionally numb and not feeling like themselves and the reduction in positive feelings. And those are the sorts of effects that we found in over half of people. These are not rare events, as we've been led to believe. They are the majority of people.
Are these disclaimers required in advertisements in the UK? Like here in the United States, when you see an advertisement for an SSRI, there's a whole barrage of potential side effects, and including suicidal thoughts, blah, blah, blah. Do you have to do that there in the UK as well?
Absolutely.
So I guess the doctors probably feel that these individuals have heard this somewhere already. I kind of feel like doctors are caught in the middle here. They become doctors because they want to help people, but they become indoctrinated into a system that is not necessarily what they bargained for on the onset. So
I think that's right. And family doctors or general practitioners are often the first port of call for people who are not actually experiencing medical problems. These are not medical problems. These are emotional responses to life events. But we've created a culture where you go to your doctor for that. And then the doctor is not particularly well trained in those issues, which isn't their fault. They probably only have 5 to 10 minutes at best to see you. They don't have time to do what's necessary, which is to have a proper conversation about what's going on in your life, what's depressing you, what changes you might need to make. So it's a bit unfair to blame the doctors for all of that. But yes, I do still feel that they are way over prescribing these drugs, but I can kind of see why they do it.
Let's talk about the research. So describe this research. This was a longitudinal study over a period of time, right?
No, not really. It was an online survey. It did ask questions covering a lot of a long period of time, but it didn't follow people over 20 years. So what we did was we wanted to get the largest sample ever, which we accomplished, and the best way to do that was an online survey. So we got nearly 1,800 odd people responded, and which is interesting in itself, that people are very keen to be heard on these issues. People wanted to have a say. And this wasn't a disgruntled group of people, because about 80% of them said that they thought the antidepressants had helped them. So it's not that they thought these drugs were all bad, but they reported the most astonishing levels of adverse effects while they were receiving what they perceived to be a benefit from the drugs. I have to add quickly that our research, not our research, but research internationally shows very clearly that in the vast majority of people who do feel better as a result of the antidepressants, it is in fact a placebo effect. There's nothing wrong with placebo effects. A lot of what I'm a psychologist, a lot of what we do is a placebo effect.
Sure.
In terms of instilling hope and expectation that you're going to get better. So, you know, you're feeling a bit down or a lot down. You've decided it's time to do something about it. You go to the doctor. He gives you a pill. Obviously, the doctor believes it's going to work. You want it to work. And some people in our survey, we actually asked them how quickly they started feeling better, and many of them felt better within a few days. That's interesting, because the chemical effects of these drugs don't work for 3 to 4 weeks.
Right.
So that's, and I'm glad they felt better. It's, you know, it's not a, I don't think placebo effects are necessarily a bad thing. But the point is that these pills cannot address what's going on in people's lives. And that's what people need. They need to make some sort of changes when something's going on. Or they just need to accept that, hey, life sometimes sucks, and this is depressing. Time will you know, do its healing thing after a little while, and I'll feel better again. And it's okay to feel sad.
Right. It is okay to feel sad, and there are appropriate times to feel sad. Now, I understand that there are situations where someone may be lingering too long, but you know, that's probably something better dealt with in talk therapy, I think, than giving somebody a pill. So
I think so, and the evidence suggests that is the case. Obviously, talking to a trusted friend can be very good. We don't have research on how effective that is. I just happen to believe it's effective. But what we do have research on is psychological therapists, particularly cognitive therapy, where you help people to look at the sorts of things they're telling themselves, either about themselves or about the world or about the future, and help them challenge those beliefs. Because often our depression is either caused or maintained by telling ourselves inaccurate things about ourselves. You know, like, so this is, you know, something's gone wrong at work, or I've lost my job. That means I am a complete and utter failure. That means I will never work again.
Not to oversimplify this, but when I was a very young man, I found a therapist that was very, very good. And one of the things that he had me do was read a book called I'm Okay, You're Okay, which is a pretty old book.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
What I got from I'm Okay, You're Okay is this. The judgments you make on other people and the lines that you use to define good, bad, whatever it has, that comes back to haunt you in your own life when you find yourself faced with the situation where you have to make a decision and you've painted yourself into a corner because of a judgment you made on someone else. So the reality is that a lot of people who find themselves, as you point out, depressed, they have a certain view of the world that has been constructed over time that they may be applying to other people, and now they have to apply it to themselves. They go, oh my gosh, I'm no good.
Yeah. We have all sorts of different ways of doing ourselves in. Interestingly, one of the ways we can do ourselves in, if we go see a doctor or a psychiatrist and you get a diagnosis, then you go, oh my God, I'm also one of those people who have got this thing called depression. And then we beat ourselves up over that. Because that's the message that doctors give, isn't it?
Right.
You have this thing, this disorder, this illness inside of you that is somehow causing you to feel depressed, which of course it's kind of 5-year-old backward circular logic.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's causing your depression? Well, my depression is caused by this thing I've got called depression, which is absolutely meaningless.
Right.
But this is the sort of model that, unfortunately, psychiatry has promulgated on most of us. And we just need to realize that it's a silly way of thinking. It doesn't help us. And as we said before, depression is largely caused by two things, depressing things happening, and then what we tell ourselves about that.
What were some of the top unwanted effects of antidepressants? And are we talking about strictly SSRIs here, or is there a different range of antidepressants as well?
Yeah, the majority of people in this survey had been taking SSRIs, yeah.
What were some of the unwanted, untoward effects of them?
Well, we found the most common one was sexual difficulties and failure to reach orgasm. That was 62%. And the second most common, which is one of the new findings, is that people reported feeling emotionally numb. So it wasn't that they were less depressed, it's just that they weren't feeling anything.
No happiness, no joy, no sadness,
that's right.
Nothing.
That's right. So there was some relief in as much as they weren't feeling depressed anymore, but the price they were paying is that they weren't feeling anything. Now, for some people, I guess, if you were extremely depressed for a long period of time, I guess I could kind of imagine for myself, if I was in that situation, wanting some relief from that. And is it worth paying the price of not being able to feel happy either? Well, maybe for some people, but you can't really live your life like that. Well, I suppose you could, but it's not really desirable. Other sorts of things we found were people reported feeling not like myself. About over 50% reported that. And again, 40% reduction in positive feelings, which kind of goes along with not feeling anything at all. And these are all effects that have really either not been studied in the past or have been found in very small studies and then dismissed as sort of very rare. So now we know that approximately 50% are having these effects on their feelings. And then there was this interesting one about interacting with other people, affecting how having a negative effect on the relationships. And the way we measured that was we just asked the question about caring less about other people.
Yeah.
And nearly 40% of people reported that. Men in particular, men reported that one at a higher rate than women. So it's kind of if you put it all together, I guess the best way to describe it is kind of like a closing down.
Yeah.
Closing down on your own feelings, closing down on yourself, closing down on other people. And that's kind of, what's weird is that that's kind of what depression is like anyway. So it's almost like the drugs are, you could say, making the depression worse in some way, or certainly making this closing down withdrawal from the world.
It's almost like if you're suffering from some depression, there is still a part of you that recognizes that this is not the normal state of your being, and so you recognize that you're depressed. But the antidepressants seem to push you so far down into that black hole that you have no objectivity any longer because you're numb, so you don't necessarily feel sad about being depressed, but you also don't feel anything else either. It really is interesting that that may be why some people find the benefit from them, because it just keeps them from feeling anything.
That's right. And it's kind of just turning us off.
It's
turning us off. And that scares me at a sort of societal level, because, I mean, it scares me at an individual level, but if you think about it in a more global way, at a societal level, let's assume that there really are, as the drug companies claim, 20% of us at any one point experiencing serious levels of depression. Well, if that's the case, then I would suggest we need to be thinking about what sort of society we are living in. What is it about society that's causing 20% of us to be severely depressed? And then perhaps we need to do something about that.
Yeah, but that doesn't sell drugs, Doc.
I think you're right, Carl.
The other issue here, and we're going into this break, I just want to go for a second longer. I want to talk about suicide, thoughts of suicide. You know, I think lots of people go through their lives in moments and think, oh, God, I wish I could just kill myself. And that's usually, if you verbalize it, you're usually crying out for help. If you internalize it, it's almost like you're just trying to let off some steam. But I think the difference is, if you have those feelings and you're on an antidepressant, you may take it further because, again, your objectivity is removed. And if you don't care about others, you may not care about yourself any longer. You're not afraid. If you have no fear, because it's muting everything, then you may not have any fear of taking your own life.
I think that is a possibility. We found that 39% of people reported some degree of suicidality as a result of taking the drug. That doesn't mean that they're not all going to kill themselves, fortunately. But it's still quite worrying that somehow the drugs are increasing the risk of suicidality, given that that's one of the reasons that they're prescribed in the first place to prevent suicide. There isn't actually any evidence that they prevent suicide, but that doesn't stop the drug companies claiming that.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. I've got more questions about the research. We're talking with Dr. John Reed. We're talking about how antidepressant unwanted effects may actually be the causing more problems for the reason that people are taking them in the first place. It's baffling. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection? Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the superhuman nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Taking vitamin D without taking the MK7 form of K2 can lead to unwanted tissue calcification. A growing body of evidence shows cardiovascular and bone benefits from taking vitamin D and K2 together. Getting MK7 from the diet is virtually impossible. Doctor-formulated Leaner Living's K2 plus D3 product is free of soybean oil and GMOs, blended into a potent olive oil base that is the dynamic duo of fat-soluble vitamins. Save 10% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Leaner Living banner ad today.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on Superhuman Radio.com for a free brochure.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where fine supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yes, Viva. It is just
welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Randy Roach and Blake Ricketts. Blake was Larry Scott's business partner, lifelong business partner. He's going to come on, and we're going to have a tribute show to the passing of a great contributor to physical culture, Larry Scott. Right now we're talking with Dr. John Reed. We're talking about the effects of antidepressants that may not be what you want. I got to believe, Dr. Reed, that sexual difficulties alone would make you depressed.
Yes, we had one participant who actually wrote in that he was feeling a bit desperate because that was the only thing he had left that brought him any pleasure, and that had now been taken away from him, so he wasn't very happy about that. But yeah, obviously it's depressing to have your sexuality reduced in that way, and that was actually the most common effect. But doctors do tend to warn people about that one.
Yeah.
So at least people know what they're getting into there. But it doesn't, you know, it's not good for one's relationships, and if you're feeling depressed already, you know, your self-esteem.
Now 39% of them said they experienced withdrawal effects. Were they titrating and taking themselves off of the drug when this happened?
Well, that was a particularly interesting finding. The number of people who had tried to come off the drugs for all sorts of reasons, partly because of the adverse effects or because they weren't working, but went back on them because they found the withdrawal effects so difficult to deal with. Now, this is almost the most important finding in this study, because people have been told that there are no withdrawal effects to antidepressants. These are not addictive drugs. And if you tell your doctor about withdrawal effects, they say, oh, it's part of your depression or you're imagining it. But we found that it was actually 55% of people had experienced withdrawal effects. And sometimes so severe they just couldn't cope with them. So actually, I want to take the opportunity to say to your listeners, Carla, first of all, you should never stop taking medication on the basis of one radio interview. But if you do decide that you want to come off these drugs, it's quite important to do it very gradually, and ideally with the support of the person prescribing them. Because if you just throw them away, you are likely to have quite severe withdrawal effects. Anxiety and nausea and panicky feeling. And quite a few people reported this strange thing of, they called them brain zaps, which is sort of feeling like electricity going through the brain. So the withdrawal effects are real. It doesn't mean you can't get off. It just means you need to do it gradually if that's what you decide to do.
Yeah, but what most doctors do, if you insist, if you find a doctor who's willing to hear you out and you say, look, I want off of this SSRI, what they'll generally do as a rule is titrate it. They'll cut your dose for 2 weeks, then cut that dose for 2 weeks, and cut that.
Yep.
And it could take a few months before you're at the level where they go, okay, now you can stop taking it. But you can't just stop. Because the same way it takes 4 weeks for these drugs to alter the exogenous and endogenous brain chemistry being influenced here, the reverse is true as well.
That's correct. So people just need to be careful and do it slowly. And yes, if you can find a doctor who'll do it the way you just described, that's the best way to do it.
So what do you hope that clinicians and lay people take away from your research? Because obviously there's been suspicions of these types of things, but they're pretty unspoken. At least in the United States, they're very unspoken. But what do you hope that, what kind of impact this has?
Well, I hope, first of all, that doctors will tell people more often about the adverse effects so that people can make a properly informed choice. But equally importantly, I think we need to be finding alternative treatments, including doing nothing and waiting, which is, I know that's hard to describe as a treatment, but I think sometimes if doctors were just a little more willing to encourage people to see it through, use the support they've got, and because most sadness or depression, or call it what you will pass in time. It's a natural sort of process. But for people who are feeling stuck, it's much more effective and certainly safer to find a psychologist or a therapist. Of course, that involves money as well, so that's not always readily available. But yeah, so two things, better information sharing and better exploration of alternative treatments.
You know, one of the unintended effects of antidepressants is one that really concerns me more than any other, and that is tremor. In fact, here in the United States, there are certain drugs, and I'm trying to think of the names of them, that are given for depression that it says right on the disclaimer, if you listen to the TV commercial, that if you experience this, that, elevation in blood sugar can be life-threatening, and then they'll say a tremor, which may not be reversible. And what this is Parkinsonism. And that's one of the things when I hear, and the only reason why I'm sensitive to this is because I just lost my sister to Parkinson's disease, and the first thing they did to her, when she went to the doctors at the onset, she was diagnosed with depression. And a doctor told her that she had Parkinson's disease and that depression was one of the symptoms. You may not have any motor problems, but depression is one of the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. So they put her on an antidepressant. I don't recall what it was. But after she was on this SSRI for about 2 months, she developed tremor. And the doctor simply said, see, it's just the onset of your disease. But that's the one when you start seeing changes in motor function, your brain is under assault.
Yeah, well, we found tremors in about 31%. Just looking it up, yeah, 31%, and that can be quite a worrying side effect. It doesn't sound like very much, does it? Tremors. It sounds like just a minimal thing, but it actually can affect your daily life quite severely. Yeah.
Well, but more importantly, it could actually become a progressive disease that you didn't have at the onset of the treatment. And that's my biggest concern about that particular unwanted effect of SSRI.
No, I understand. Yep.
This one caught me off guard. Feeling aggressive. 28% of people said they felt aggressive, and that one would have been a shock to me. Now, clearly it looked like the men were the ones that experienced that. Could the root cause of the aggressiveness be that these men, there's an old saying, the old lion is the most dangerous because they know they're on their way out. They have nothing to lose. Could it be that once you stop feeling and caring about people, you start to become more aggressive?
I suppose that's possible. We don't really know what the mechanism is there. People, and yes, men in particular, were feeling aggressive as a result of taking the drugs. We don't quite know how that works, to be honest, but it's still quite worrying. I mean, there's been some very high profile homicide cases, as you probably know.
Yeah.
They're very rare. So that's the most extreme example of it, but we're finding it quite a large proportion of people are feeling somewhat more aggressive, and then a tiny proportion of them will go on to do something very serious.
I have this strange feeling that it is a result of the lack of the governor, if you will, that keeps us from acting out, because these individuals may have had aggressive tendencies, but they managed them and monitored themselves because they had some sort of governor there that they knew, well, I can't do this. But once they stop feeling, then they also stop feeling those check mechanisms that were keeping them restrained from acting out. And now they just become whatever their thought process is. Well, I'm just going to do this. There's no, you know, I feel no remorse for that, you know.
Well, that's an interesting hypothesis. And it certainly fits with the other finding we were talking about caring less about other people.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what I want to do. I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about alternatives, since we talked about lifestyle and so on, alternatives to going right to a pharmaceutical prescription for depression. We're talking with Dr. John Reed. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stat. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. John Reed. We're talking about the unwanted effects of antidepressants. Dr. Reed, you pointed out, and I agree completely with you, that lifestyle needs to be addressed, and in some cases, diet. We know that there's some good research out there that shows diets high in pro-inflammatory fats, like high in omega-6s, seems to cause some problems with mood swings and depression. And the opposite has also been shown in one research paper that I read a couple years ago that compared omega-3 fatty acids in the form of fish oil to a very popular SSRI, and that the fish oil actually had a better effect in mitigating clinical depression while not having any side effects. Is your industry now going, look, you know, before we go to SSRIs, if we can't necessarily change people's lifestyles, but maybe we can give them a natural alternative as a first-line approach?
Well, I have to say I'm not much of an expert on diet, although we all know it's important. And, yes, there is some good research around fish oil for a range of mental health problems. So, yeah, what we put into our bodies is obviously part of the picture. And I still think that making changes in our relationships and how we think about the world is equally important. Yeah.
But is there hope for natural alternatives within the prescriptive approach that psychiatrists and psychologists have now? Do you think any of them are paying attention to any of these natural alternatives? Or are they going right to the drugs?
No, I don't think there's a chemical solution on the horizon for depression or psychosis or any of the mental health problems. I've been trying for 30, 40, 50 years now, and if they were evidence-based, they'd really be giving up on this approach. But obviously we're profits-driven, not evidence-based in this field, unfortunately. And I would just, if you don't mind, like to take the opportunity for quickly to just mention, for people who are interested in these sorts of ideas, we do have a couple of books out there, if I can quickly mention
Please.
Them.
Please, yes, of course.
The one people might like is called Models of Madness, and that's written by 25 of us, including some American psychiatrists and psychologists. We were talking about that earlier, which is focused largely on psychosis and those sorts of things. It's an attempt to bring all the research together in an understandable way. And a simpler book, which covers the whole range of mental health problems, is called A Straight-Talking Introduction to the Causes of Mental Health Problems. And that's a really nice little pocket book that people can carry around with them if they want to. And again, it's an attempt to just demystify some of these things and get the research out there, but in a way that's understandable. So that's Models of Madness and A Straight-Talking Introduction to the Causes of Mental Health Problems.
You know, I have to tell you that we have a lot of listeners in the UK, so I pay some attention now to the UK to a greater degree. And I'm starting to realize that the UK has kind of broken step with the United States as it relates to pharmaceutical and medical approaches. And I have to say that I think the UK gets it much more so. It cares more about the people there than the profits of large companies.
I think that is true. I think that's probably true across Europe, in fact, not just the UK. So as I said right at the beginning, it's really the United States that's out of step with the rest of the world on this one, I'm afraid. And that's largely because the pharmaceutical companies there are very, very powerful, and the profession of psychiatry has not yet put up any proper professional boundaries between itself and the drug companies. So, you know, the people who wrote the DSM, for instance, the last edition, over half of those were in the pay of drug companies. So it's not surprising that they would then do something like change the amount of time it takes before you get diagnosed with depression after someone has died from 3 months to 2 weeks.
Huh.
it used to be that we had 3 months to grieve before we were given a diagnosis of major depressive disorder. Now we have just 2 weeks. That book, of course, is written by American psychiatrists, as I say, most of whom are in the pair of drug companies.
It's so sad.
It is very sad. And I think over there in America, you've got a particularly hard job to take these issues on. So more power to your elbow for dealing with these issues.
Well, and you know what? We joke about the DSM on the show because, you know, if you bite your fingernails, that's actually a grooming disorder. It's like, it's almost like they look at humans and they go, what else could we turn into a diagnosable, treatable disorder that humans do? And it's just, they just keep expanding the net, so to speak. And it seems very selfish by the pharmaceutical industry because they know they're going to benefit from the prescription of drugs. But it's very sad. And here in the United States, it's terrible, and we know it. It really is. I guess the government doesn't think we know it, but we know it. Listen, I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show today.
You're very welcome, Carl.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
So there you have it. Great discussion. If you are thinking about or on antidepressants and they're causing problems for you, you may want to talk to your doctor about alternatives and trying to get off. And if you're depressed, before you turn to an antidepressant, look at some other options first, please. There's lots of better things you can do out there. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Randy Roach and Blake Ricketts to talk about the life and times of Larry Scott. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume. Because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Don't forget, like us on Facebook, and you're entered to win 4 boxes of Quest Protein Bars. We'll make the announcement on the 21st of this month during Casual Friday. If you've already liked us on Facebook, you're already entered. If you haven't, get over there. It's facebook.com/Superhuman Radio Network. So I've gotten lots of emails and messages on Facebook this week asking if I was aware of the passing of Larry Scott. And yes, I am. And this is our tribute show. We pay homage to the life and times of Larry Scott. I'm being joined by my good friend and I'd like to think mentor, Randy Roach. How you doing, Randy?
Very good, Carl. How are you today?
Fantastic, fantastic. And we're talking also with Blake Ricketts. How you doing, Blake?
I'm wonderful, Carl. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, real quick, Blake, you are, you were Larry's business partner, correct?
I was his right-hand man. I did everything from being a young kid in high school to sweeping his sidewalks, you know, at his old business to running his supplement and his personal training line.
And so how long have you been working with Larry?
I've been with Larry for 20 years.
Wow. Long time.
Yeah.
Really long time.
It's long.
Randy, I want to start with you because you obviously wrote about Larry and Muscle Smoke and Mirrors. What do you think his greatest contribution to physical culture was?
He gave that golden boy look to bodybuilding, coming into the 1960s. Larry actually he left the scene when, say, television was becoming more prominent, when Draper and then Arnold came on the scene, but Larry was first. Larry was Joe Weider's first golden boy, and Joe probably would have liked him to stay around longer than he did, and he was just he was a smart guy, very nice man. I had the opportunity to interview him only for, talk to him a couple hours, but everybody liked him, and he just had that, you know, California lucky way. He was from Idaho, but he had that California beach look, always smiling, and he gave bodybuilding a good name.
He was a handsome guy. There's no denying it. I mean, I'm looking at some of his earlier pictures, but also, I mean, he had amazing upper body development. It was just
absolutely
really right. I mean, Randy, at that point in time when he was coming on the scene, did anybody have arms like him?
Yeah, so a few did, like Freddie Ortiz and a few of those guys. But I was just talking to a few of my friends since Larry passed away, and I said, there are some incredible black and white shots of guys like Don Holworth and Larry Scott, either in tank tops and or cut-off sleeves. And you look at them and you think, do you really want any more muscle than that?
Yes.
I mean, how much more do you want? I'm surprised that they could get any more. These guys were packed so well. And these guys, Larry stepped it up from coming out of the 50s. He had, Dillinger and those. Well, he was actually, I don't want to go back to the 40s here, but through the 50s and that, Larry stepped it up in size and mass.
Yeah.
He was, for a guy, he was, genetically, everybody brings this up, like, I mean, skeletally, he wasn't really broad in the clavicle, but he compensated by building these massive deltoids and arms that nobody would even know. Your average person to look at him wouldn't know that, oh, Larry has shorter clavicles or something like that, because of the amount of muscle mass that he, there are some amazing shots of him where you just shake your head.
I'm looking at them right now on the internet. Blake, when you first met Larry, what he was how old? How old was Larry?
He would have been 55, 54.
And because didn't he compete in the fifth when he was in his 50s? Didn't he still? I feel like he got on stage at one point in time.
Well, the last time he did was in 79. That was the Grand Prix in Vancouver. He also did the Canadian Diamond Pro, and that was it. We've done several like guest appearances and shows specifically around Utah. In fact, the last time that I actually personally got him up on stage was in Spanish Fork. We did a bodybuilding show out there, and that was 2 years ago. And we got him in the octagon, and we had him posing there with the current Mr. Utah.
There's a picture of him on strengtholdschool.com, and while the picture was posted on June of 2010, you could see he was older.
Yeah.
But I mean, his arms look bigger in 2010 than they did when he was a young man. I mean, his arms are amazing.
There's no doubt, and I'll be totally honest with you, Carl. And Randy, you probably attest to this. Even up until 6 months ago, I was still training with him, and we were still in the gym, and he was still working on those peaks. You know, hence the reason for the spider bench and the preacher bench. He was still constantly wanting that more muscle in all of his training, not just with, you know, the shoulder thickness and the chest, but, you know, he prided himself on obtaining that more muscle. And, you know, we joked about it, you know, did he want more muscle? The guy, he did. I mean, even up six months to a year ago, he was actively training and wanting that more muscle.
I have to read this. This was a message sent to me on Facebook by a fan of the show named John Parker, who lives in Utah. He said, asking me if I knew about Larry's passing, he goes, 20 years ago, we lifted at the same gym. He was always very kind to me and would offer tidbits and clues from his glory days. Although he was past his prime, he had a command presence as he lumbered through the free weight area. All of his moves were obviously calculated and precise. I vividly remember one of his favorite practices. He would perform wrist curls with 225 pounds like it was an empty bar. And while all the while scanning the gym, you knew when his eyes settled on you, the jig was up. He was going to correct your form. He was also the gym sheriff, insisting on maintaining gym etiquette. I'm sorry. My workout partner and I loved the interactions with him. He taught me how to perform preacher curls, how to use a spider bench. Who even knows what that is anymore? And how to get the most out of my pull-ups. He used to say, Parker, do this or take this, and you'll grow like a baby gorilla. This was a great time in my training life. This is where I fell in love with the iron, in the presence of an iron giant, Larry Scott. What a nice memory to have, huh?
Absolutely.
And I got to believe that's how Larry was. I got to believe he was very generous with people, paying attention to them, offering them help. He was that kind of guy, wasn't he?
Absolutely. And, you know, Carl, there is no doubt that he was like that. I mean, he commanded attention. You know, you could walk into the gym and you could see that. But even traveling the world with Mr. Scott, we saw that. I mean, we could be at an airport or a bus stop and people would come up and they would notice him and recognize him. And he would take the time. No matter if we were late for a plane, he would take the time to answer the questions. And he did that with anybody that he came in contact with.
Yeah, good, really, really good guy. So what is Larry? So let's talk about this. So from 20 years ago when you met Larry and then started working with him in the supplement business, has he specifically been dedicated still to physical culture, nutrition, supplementation, or was that kind of a sideline and did he have a primary thing that he did?
This was the primary. We did everything from supplementation, and, you know, he still had that same hypergrowth protein and the ultra pro protein, and he had his equipment line, specific equipment that he had designed and developed, but he also still did his consultations and his personal evaluations for anybody that wanted to call in. They could swing by the office. We did everything from health evaluations to weight loss evaluations, and we even had the guys that wanted to, had the desire to compete and saw him in a magazine and wanted that, wanted to pursue that. So yeah, he did it all. And he did it all up until about, I would say, 8 months ago.
Didn't you say, did I misunderstand this, Randy? Didn't Larry actually pick up the original protein from Rio Blair?
I was going to say, the listeners should know that Larry had two interesting, unique mentors. That's Vince Gironda and Rio Blair, Irvin Johnson. Like when Larry came out from Idaho in 1959, I think he originally worked out at Burt Goodrich's gym, but when he came back, he went to Vince's gym, and he hooked up with Blair, Rio Blair, and Gironda. And these two guys were very unique in terms of bodybuilding. They were different from your average guys, like who had the weightlifting background. These guys were bodybuilders, right? So Larry got connected with them right away. And Larry was big into supplementation, and he, I believe, Blake can correct me if I'm wrong here, that upon, I think, Rio's death in 1983, I think Larry might have been the second of the top three. I think it was Red Laurel, Larry Scott, and Jim Shiblum, who were the top buyers of Blair's protein. Right. And then when the company went under in 89, that's when Larry, I think in 1991 or 92, went into his own hyper growth. I actually bought a batch of that at the time because I knew Larry always spoke about Blair and he read about Blair. And in fact, I was at an article he wrote on Blair that actually made me familiar with him way back.
Mm.
But Larry was a big promoter of that school of nutrition, and he carried it on with his hyper growth on into the 90s and onward with what these guys are doing now.
What was the spider bench what was that John Parker mentioned?
I'll let Blake answer that one. He can do it best.
Well, you know, I think it still goes back to Vince's. You know, we're understanding the peak and the development of the bicep. You know, we had Larry that came in with the Scott Preacher curl, and we're looking and focusing on the girth of that. What happens was he began to make changes and adjustments to the spider bench, and he focused more on the vertical drop and allowing for that peak and that peak development. And you can see it even on LarryScott.com, where we're going through there, and my purpose and passion was to show that even at that older age, we can continue to make progress. And even when dealing with what Larry was talking about, going through that, we can see that form and that development, even later in life, allowed for that peak development. There wasn't a week that went by that he wasn't involved in some aspect of tweaking and altering those movements on that spire bench.
Were there any of the pros that sprouted from that era who were clearly influenced by Larry, Randy?
Well, I think any of the pros coming in to the game would have been inspired by him because he was in the magazine. Just like later on people inspired by Dave Draper, later on inspired by Arnold Schwarzenegger, Larry would have inspired tons of guys. Like, yeah. I've been aware of Larry since the 1972, 73, right? So,
yeah.
He was seen less in the magazines at that time. It was more so, I'd seen a lot of Dave Draper, Frank Zane, and Don Peters. But the guys coming into the game in the early 60s, Larry was the guy from 1960, when he won IFBB Mr. America in 1962, right through to 66, when he left, I think, later in the 60s, he was the man. Like, he was all over the place. You know, he would have inspired hundreds of bodybuilders, thousands of them, worldwide.
We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got lots more to talk about. We're talking right now with Randy Roach. He is the author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, and it's the single greatest contribution to the historic accounting of physical culture that you'll ever find. If you've never read Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, you're missing out on a seminal work that will change your – the book, and knowing Randy, changed my life in the direction of this show. And I attribute that to Randy. You can go to randyroach.ca to learn more about Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. There's also a banner ad on superhumanradio.com. And then, of course, Blake Ricketts, who is, and I say he is, Larry Scott's partner. Larry has passed, but Blake is carrying on the tradition. We have two websites to plug. One is LarryScott.com, and the other is NationalFitness.com. And we'll talk more about what those websites provide a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Super Human Radio.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin, releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Randy Roach, Blake Ricketts. We're talking about the life and times of Larry Scott. Was Larry especially strong? I mean, there were lots of big bodybuilders, but, you know, when we think of bodybuilding in that era, it kind of splintered away from strength acquisition and more for aesthetics. Was Larry strong? Whoever wants to jump in and comment first, please.
Well, like you mentioned earlier, doing wrist curls at 225 wasn't like it's an empty bar. You know, Larry didn't do he wasn't a traditional power lifter. Like, he wasn't doing the big deadlifts or squats and benching his, you know, it was the Girona tradition not to do that. But I mean, the weights he used in his bodybuilding were absolutely significant. And, Blake can comment more on what he saw Larry lift in later years, but Larry wasn't a big. They didn't use big weights. Like their goal wasn't to get as much weight as possible. It was to work the muscle. They had a whole different philosophy at Girona's gym. With as I was wrote a lot in the first volume, where they let the muscle work the weight. They didn't have the weight work the muscle. It's a whole different way of thinking and how to work out. But Larry still, from what I know, used some pretty significant weights in the unique movements that he used.
Did you see him, Blake, do anything remarkable about, you know, when any particular lifts, you know, power
cleans,
anything
even
like that?
Even going back into his later days, he always talked about the term compound intensity. And that simply meant to Larry, for faster progress, I want to slow it down. Mm. I want to focus on my rep speed. I want to focus on my technique, and I want to focus on that form. It wasn't so much that he was going in there and lifting heavy weights. I mean, even 5 years ago, it wasn't about the heavy weights. It was understanding still, tweaking those movements and understanding exercise. He was always trying to improve the body and to improve the physique. So it wasn't so much, but I did see him. You know, we built a gym for him here in our warehouse that he could go back there at any time that he wanted and go in there and tweak those movements. Still up until the end, he was still doing that. But he was, even later in his days, it was still heavier weights, but not so much that, you know, he was getting hurt. He was still very much concerned with, you know, preventing injury as well.
So that whole notion is really something that was very specific to that era. Very few people still do this, but it was probably a philosophy of even Lee Haney's, you know, to activate the muscle and not to annihilate it. So a lot of these guys were really focusing on feeling the muscle doing the work, which when you start getting heavy, you lose that connection because the whole body has to start, ramping up amperage, if you will. And all of a sudden you don't necessarily feel the muscle itself doing the work.
Yeah, it's, like I said, there's all the different philosophies out there in training, and obviously they all work to a certain degree, but, with pure bodybuilding, it was really, you know, really practice in that mode in Girona's gym with, Larry Scott and, Dan Mackey was big into that. McCardle, Larry's friend, Don Holworth. These guys were, Holworth was pretty strong. He could lift some big, he still did benching and lift some big weights, but they really focused in on working the muscle. Letting, like they said, Dan Mackey, brought the notion that Arnold said a phrase, I am the muscle, but he said he got that from them. Mm. Basically, so focused in, they didn't care what tool they had, they didn't care, it didn't have to be a big weight, they let the muscle work the weight, and they got a lot of progress. And it is so much safer way to train, especially as you're getting, there are so many bodybuilders that are so racked up from injuries because I got to deadlift this, I got to squat that weight, I got to bench that weight, and they pay the price over the years. But they're in true pure bodybuilding, the way they practice it, just like Blake saying, Larry was able to hold his cannons, his guns, all the way up to his passing.
So let's talk about, let's fast forward now. So how well did Larry age, given his adherence to physical culture, Blake?
You know, his philosophy was around nutrition. He loved foods that were good for the body. You know, he'd have his salmon, egg white, omelet every morning. And, you know, he'd come in and he'd have his protein drinks, and he would have his lunch and his fruits and his vegetables. I mean, it was very, very specific to that. If you were to look at Larry, and you know, we've had the opportunity to take him to many of the Olympias, and to look at him in his mere presence and dealing with exercise and his understanding, it wasn't that you'd look at Larry and you'd say, boy, this guy's 75 years old. That wasn't the case. I mean, you look at Larry, and he's still, even at the 2 weeks ago, there wasn't a hair out of place on his head. So, you know, he aged well. Dark hair, he still had, you know, he was still veined out, he still had the muscles. I would still bring him into the office and he'd flex for all the employees. So, I mean, even at his age, he still looked the role, without a question.
So what ended up, and I'm unfamiliar, what did he, how did he pass?
Well, he suffered from Alzheimer's. He was diagnosed several years ago, and the onset of that really started to progress within about the last year. And up until about the last time that I brought him into the office was right around Christmas time, and we came in here and we brought him in with so that he could have a little bit of a some Christmas family with the employees. And then over the last 2 months, you know, I'd been able to go over there and see him at his home and meet with his wife and know that, you know, it was getting close.
And so,
and it was, you know, it was the onset of that Alzheimer's.
So,
that,
so could you
ended up progressing, and you know, was a contributing factor.
So was that? So he passed as a result of complications due to Alzheimer's disease.
Yes, sir.
I didn't realize that. I didn't
yes,
realize
sir.
That at all. That's too bad. So physically,
you know, what's funny is you look at Larry and a guy that mastered the body, you know, inside and out, and watched everything that he did eating wise. I couldn't get him to eat a donut. I couldn't get him to have a soda pop. And he watched and he monitored that. And you know, it's unfortunate that the thing that took him was his mind.
And that is very sad, very very sad. And so, in the later days here, or the last couple of years, was his cognition truly failing? Did you see it yourself when you were interacting with him?
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd see the occasional, you know, hey, I mispaced a pen or a pencil. And as time progressed, you know, it steadily got a little bit worse to the point where, you know, he realized that, you know, hey, I've done enough and I've accomplished a lot. And, you know, he said that he wanted to retire, and, we talked about it and, met with his family, and we discussed that, and he realized that his best choice right now was just to, you know, to retire, and that was in November of this last year, so that quick.
Blake, did you go with Larry? Did he not go down to the Joe Weider wing opening up at the Letcher Stark Museum down in Texas a couple years ago?
Yes, Randy, I was there with him. We flew out there, and wonderful, beautiful, beautiful exhibit there, and we did. We had the opportunity to be there.
Yeah, Boyer Cole was mentioning that I briefly got to talk with Larry, but I was curious. I was wondering then if he had accompanied him there.
What was that?
I was just always curious. Boyer Cole had mentioned that he had seen Larry there. I was trying to remember. I'm pretty sure he said he had seen Larry there, but I was just more curious if you had accompanied him down there.
Yeah, I did. I was there. We flew out there. We actually spent a couple extra days there, and we went around and did the sites and did the tour, and beautiful, beautiful exhibit.
I wish I would have went. I was invited to go, but I didn't. I didn't go. But there's quite a few people down there. Would have been interesting.
It is amazing there.
He has the distinction of being the first Mr. Olympia winner. Is that right, Randy?
First two.
Yeah,
it was. Like, to be honest with you, the Olympia at that time. In fact, the Olympia right up into the mid '70s wasn't a big a deal as it became, because like in the first one, Larry and Harold were the first two competitors until Earl Maynard won the universe that night and made it three. You know, Sergio competed in 68 unopposed, Arnold in 1971 unopposed. You know, it wasn't until the 1976 when Arnold and Lorimer started to promote, and then Ken Sprague and then Wayne DeMille came and started promoting it, that the show actually became much, much bigger. But it was Joe Weider had a hard time getting a lot of his guys to come back and compete.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Pearl, you know, he's trying to get guys like Reg Park, Bill Pearl, you know. But, you know, that's how it started in the mid '60s, and Larry was they were the top guys still. Larry and Harold Poole, those physiques were phenomenal. Earl Maynard, and I think Draper, I don't think he kind of almost competed in the 67 or 68 and backed out. But, 1965 and 66 were the first two that Larry won, then retired after that.
Blake, I have to, while he was attributed to having 20-inch upper arms back in the day, I have to believe his arms got bigger as he got older. Am I wrong?
Well, it was the peak and it was the development. It was how they were defined. You know, I've got posters at my home that, you know, I've got him at age, when he won the Mr. Olympia. We've got those, and I look at that and I see just the girth and the size that he had. And then I look at him and I see the 1954 shot of him, and the arms actually looked bigger, from my account.
What year was that? You said 1954. Did you mean 1994?
Age 54.
Age 54. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Age 54. And then as he moved on at age 66 is when you can really see the peak. You can see that development. You can see the work, and he continued to do that. And so, size wise, look wise, you know, I would say that, you know, the girth, it was there, but it was that peak, and it was that development that, you know, even up until, you know, just seeing him just a couple months ago, you know, that was still a phenomenal feature.
Randy, when he was competing in the AAU events, didn't he have to also do compulsory lifts?
Yeah, Larry didn't spend a lot of time in the AAU. I think the Mr. California was AAU. I think the Pacific Coast in 61 was AAU. But by 1962, he left AAU for the IFBB.
Uh-huh.
But only in the Mr. America did they require them to do the athletic points, and mostly, you know, they wouldn't allow any bodybuilding movements. There was only the Olympic lifts that you could do to get the points. Or if you're a professional basketball player who happened to be competing in Mr. America,
right,
that would be sufficient stuff. But those points eventually were dropped by the end of the 1960s. But Joe had persuaded Larry to come compete in the 1962 IFBB Mr. America, and that was the end of the AAU.
Yeah.
Larry.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Again, we're talking with Randy Roach. His website is randyroach.ca. You can learn more about the books, Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. And then, of course, Blake Ricketts, who was Larry's business partner and is maintaining everything that Larry has put into effect. You can go to larryscott.com. To learn more about the products and services, or nationalfitness.com, which we'll talk a little bit more about when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25-pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code Superhuman today. In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because
because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Taking vitamin D without taking the MK7 form of K2 can lead to unwanted tissue calcification. A growing body of evidence shows cardiovascular and bone benefits from taking vitamin D and K2 together. Getting MK7 from the diet is virtually impossible. Doctor-formulated Leaner Living's K2 plus D3 product is free of soybean oil and GMOs, blended into a potent olive oil base that is the dynamic duo of fat-soluble vitamins. Save 10% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Leaner Living banner ad today.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget, tomorrow's Friday, which means I'll be in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo as we perform Casual Friday. We're talking right now with Randy Roach, Blake Ricketts. We're talking about the life and times of Larry Scott. Blake, what do you think people should know about Larry?
You know, I have had I've had a lot of time to think about that. It's been a tough week. He was a wonderful person. He was one of my best friends, and you know, Larry's known on the stage. He's an icon to the sport. Larry is also a phenomenal person, and anybody that had the opportunity and the privilege to meet with him, talk with him, your life was enriched, without a question.
Are there things that he did that people should know that maybe are outside of the world of physical culture to give us a feel for the kind of guy Larry really was?
There's no question that, I mean, I've the thousands of emails and cards and letters and phone calls that we've received, you know, from a lady that met him at a bus stop, to being in an airport, to taking the time, like the gentleman posted earlier, in that just merely stopped at the health club just to point out and correct. Larry wasn't doing that. He was a helper. He was in service. That was his drive and passion. He was very religious, and that was just a staple point to really who he was. He didn't think anything about it. He just acted on it, and he just wanted to help.
Who is he survived by? Does he have any sons, children?
He does. He has his wife, Rachel, and he has two sons and a daughter.
Either of the boys or even the daughter ever get into the bodybuilding game?
Not into the bodybuilding game. They Larry owned his own health club, and they worked with him and then they went on and they did their own things and did their lives. But you know, it was merely in support of Larry, and they were actively engaged in his business and with the consultations and the DVDs and the videos and commercials and everything, they were an active role in what he was trying to promote.
Randy, what about you? When you were doing research for Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, perhaps not necessarily the discussions you had directly with Larry, but maybe other interviews that shed light on the kind of guy Larry was that maybe the audience would enjoy hearing about? Anything?
I was more so from my my own experience to be able to communicate with them on the phone and through email. It's interesting. I talked to Don Holworth last night, and he just by coincidence on Saturday, he drove by Ventura Boulevard at just Vince's old gym and stopped just to reminisce. Say, eh? And when I asked him, well, what's the first thing you think about with Larry Sky? He said, well, those arms. And then he started laughing because he was thinking where he's parked, looking at where Vince's gym was. He said, Larry used to park his feet across Ventura Boulevard and just run across the street. And he said, nowadays, Larry would get killed doing that.
it's all
changed there now. But Larry was a very moral person. Like, I don't think anybody's ever said anything bad about him. And I think it's important for anybody who's into bodybuilding today, like, you know, you see everybody say, well, geez, Larry was almost 50 years ago. But he comes from that school, as I mentioned, that with along with Geron and some others that were unique to bodybuilding, and he offers a lot of unique approaches in his nutrition and in exercise. I have red loaded guns. I had read his other material, and I had purchased some of his funky bars, like that he would make. I still, in fact, right down in my gym, I have like his tricep bar down. Huh. These guys should let Blake mention what other stuff that Larry made and promoted, and he had this unique way of doing every exercise. He had a variation of doing it to emphasize the muscle more and more and more. And I think anybody who's in bodybuilding needs to be open and at least look at this, because it's still available today, right? It's not gone. It's going to be carried on.
So he was really a master of kinesiology then, huh?
Oh, very much. Very much so. I mean, you know, even when you look at some of the pieces of equipment, he had his V-dipping bars, and you'd go to health clubs and they'd have the circular motions, and Larry's were squared. And you'd spend 30 minutes explaining the square, but that's what Larry wanted to do. He wanted to have a unique piece that he could articulate and explain the purposes and the reason for what he had those. You know, his other one was his twin pedestal bench and that he used for his tricep machine to allow for all those heads to be targeted and to feel the burn and see the explosion of growth.
What didn't he create the Scott press, which is where it's an overhead press with dumbbells, but you pronate and supinate the wrist up on the way up and down so that it's supposed to give each head of the shoulder better activation? Or am I wrong about that?
I don't think it's called the there's a Zottman curl, but I mean Larry.
No, this was a seated overhead press where you
he did it.
With a palm, you start at the bottom, palms facing you, and at the top, palms are out. Didn't he initiate that?
Pinkies high.
Pinkies high, right. Oh, that was what he did. Pinkies
yeah,
high.
Yeah, you sound like Kyle. You're describing what I sound like the Arnold press.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, Governor.
Yeah.
Not trying to steal your thunder there.
Yeah, Larry had his own totally different way of doing shoulder presses.
He had the pinkies high press. That's what it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that by doing that, you actually focus the movement more on the shoulders than triceps, right?
Oh,
yeah. Larry's got videos out. Blake, do you guys not have videos of all this stuff? I'm quite sure. Like, I have some of the videos I bought way back. So
absolutely. We've got the Hypergrowth DVD system, and it's 2 hours of instructional material, and it talks about, it's Larry from the neck to the calves, and he goes through each form of technique and making sure that, you know, you're looking at yourself in the mirror and understanding why you're doing it. Not that you're doing the lift, but why there's reasoning behind it.
Where can people get those DVDs? Is that at LarryScott.com?
Yes, sir. LarryScott.com. He's got the DVDs. We also have the fat melting DVD. So we've got both sections, and regardless of your goal. And then, as Randy mentioned, Larry years ago developed the Loaded Guns book, and then over the last several years, we had the opportunity to sit down, Larry, and go through a new, and it's called the Reloaded Guns book, where it was kind of like Larry's pitch to, he went more in depth and understanding into why nutrition was important, his role in bodybuilding, and the proper techniques and forms of exercise. It's a wonderful book.
What do you think about the spider curl, Randy? I'm looking at it. I've never done them, but it does look like it puts the arm in such a position that the bicep really does work a lot harder. Takes the shoulders out of it, right?
I've never had the spider bench, but I did makeshift. You know, you can makeshift to get over top. Larry also had another technique. When he built the peak, he also talked about building the Broculus underneath, where he had this move where he would get on the lat machine with a thumbless grip, and you need somebody to keep you in position, and then you curl the bar back down behind your head. So right. The idea is to relax the big bicep brachii and let the brachialis underneath take over. Mm. Now, Bob Green contends that Gironda was instrumental in getting Arthur Jones to make one of his compound bicep in that fashion, like the Nautilus compound bicep. You're going overhead and you're curling it back behind your head to get the brachialis muscle, which helps push up to help create that peak as well. All these unique stuff. These are a lot of things. A lot of bodybuilders aren't even aware of out there that these pioneers of the game were perfecting, and they're still available.
Well, Larry was a huge fan of the reverse grip curl, which isn't done as much today. Palms down, you know what I mean? And which really hits the brachials a lot more as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he was doing those, and you know, based on those muscle fibers, I mean. He was targeting those areas of emphasis, and you know he'd look in the mirror, and I'd see him multiple times throughout the week, and he'd walk by a mirror and he'd be like, oh, I got to go do a set, I got to go do a couple reps, and it was just that way, and he'd always walk around with those short sleeve shirts, even in the winter, just so that he could perfect that and do that. But those reverse grip curls, he was always doing them. He loved them.
There's a picture on the internet of him doing them. I just found it, and I can't tell, but it looks like, and I could be wrong, I don't know if those are 45-pound plates or they're small, but it looks like he's got about 300 pounds on a bar sitting on a preacher bench doing reverse curls.
Well, that'd be quite the feat.
I don't know if you've seen it. It's actually, I'll tell you the website that it's on, Classic Bodybuilding Memories. Is the name of the blog. It's a Blogspot blog. And it's got September 6th, 1988, Larry Scott. And it's got him doing, again, these are not the traditional Olympic plates. So these may be 25-pound plates. But even if it is, there's three plates plus a small one and then the bar itself. And he's on a preacher bench with it. It's amazing.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen it.
The bar, oh, here, it says here, several exercises that bent down, the bar, six 35-pound plates and two 10-pound plates, and cranked out a set of reverse preacher bench curls. He blew everybody in the gym away. So think about that, six 35s, so three on each side and a 10. Three 35s and a 10 on each side, he's doing reverse curls on a preacher bench. I mean,
yeah.
That kind of speaks to my question whether or not he was strong.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
there.
There's no doubt.
All right, let's do this. We're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about National Fitness. We're talking right now with Randy Roach. You know Randy from the show, and you know that he has written Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. If you haven't read the book, Volume 1 and Volume 2, they're amazing. Go to randyroach.ca or go to superhumanradio.com and look for the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors banner ad in the player area. And then we're also talking with Blake Ricketts, who was Larry's business partner and is carrying on since Larry has passed on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return. And even then, you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million. Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio. Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the one and only
dysfunctional DJ.
Stranded at the drive-in, branded a fool. What will they say?
Hit me!
Welcome back. As we pay homage to the passing of Larry Scott. So, Blake, National Fitness is Larry's club line. Is that correct?
What we did was in 1998, Larry met a gentleman by the name of Bailey Hall. And together they started to develop and create more of an iconic image for Larry Scott. And recently, about 4 years ago, we acquired National Fitness. And from that, what we do is anything from billing, marketing, bill collecting, supplementation, personal training services, because Larry Scott had his own certification entity that, you know, you could come in, you can get certified in his principles. And so we offer that for all the personal trainers, plus his supplement line. So consulting work, anything relating to the health and wellness industry for health clubs or individuals that just want, you know, more information on what they can do to better their clubs or better themselves. They can see all of that at nationalfitness.com, as well as, you know, through larryscott.com.
So, in other words, for the small independent club owner who's got his hands full trying to compete with all of the larger chains, you guys kind of give them some of the advantages that the chains have by joining your group.
Absolutely. We can go in there and we can look and do an assessment. We've got our own printing company as well, so we do everything from printing of the contracts to direct mail pieces, anything to give them the advantage, you know, and as well as as well as even the corporate clubs. You know, we do all work. We have about 400 health clubs throughout the country that we do and assist through the, you know, all the tools and techniques and the secrets that Larry wanted through the help of Bailey Hall and National Fitness. We're allowed to do that.
Randy, what have you been up to?
Oh, I've been busy. I'm still working on that raw food guide, the Romnivore guide, training and listening to TV.
Are you training lots of clients right now?
Just enough to like give me my free time to write.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? So we had a snafu that you know about, Randy, because you emailed me one day and said, "What's going on? I just got 100 emails from your newsletter."
Yeah.
So I got my hands into something I was not supposed to be doing and generated a batch of emails that ended up causing a lot of people to cancel their subscriptions. And then I sent them emails and said, oops, you know, and a lot of them resubscribed. They just wanted the barrage to stop. But guess who one of the people is that canceled his subscription to my newsletter? Joshua Trentine. I'm really sad.
He canceled it.
Yeah, I guess he got annoyed by the 100 emails that he got. So I have to message him and tell him to sign back up that it was an accident.
Yeah, I'll talk with him.
I thought that son of a gun, of all the people I would have thought, he would have just toughed it out and sent me an email and said, what the heck, you know, something like that. But anyway.
Yeah, if a blind guy can do it, like anybody else can do it. I was up here, how many emails Carl's sending me here?
So actually, it generated 230 before I realized what was going on and killed it. Only about 110 went out.
Yeah,
to every member. So, anyway, so I know that you don't want to be asked this question, but I have to ask it. Are you working on volume 3 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, or is that just kind of there's just a lot too many plates in the air right now?
Not right now. I haven't worked in about a year and a half, but just listening to Blake, I'm thinking afterwards I have to connect with Blake because when I get back into Volume 3, I'd like to talk to him, man, because Larry is a continuation of that school of Deronda Blair and old that some people call it old school bodybuilding, but I mean, that's not a bad name.
No.
That's not a bad name. That's actually, I think, a good name. So, Blake, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind connecting with you later on if you're open.
I'd be honored.
That.
I'd be honored to.
Great.
Please.
That's my whole goal and objective is, you know, I want to continue to push Larry, push his name, push his integrity, and let people know and understand exactly what he did. And like you mentioned, it's the old school technique, old school bodybuilding. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, and I want to continue with that legacy.
Did Dan Lurie know Larry Scott, Randy, to your knowledge?
I don't know if Dan, Blake might be able to answer that question better, if he actually knew Larry, because Larry was leaving just when Dan was coming back into the game. Dan ran his first WBBG show January of 67, so Larry would have been gone by that time, but they may have met afterwards. But I don't know.
Mm, neither.
Yeah, I just only because we just recently lost Dan as well. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of big names. These are big names in our field that are going now, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, they
you
sure
know,
are.
Joe Weider, Dan, and Larry Scott, Sergio. Like these are the names I grew up with. And Carl, you and I are the same age.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the late '60s.
Yeah, we're both 42 years old, Randy.
Yeah, I wish.
What about 34?
Yeah. Oh, geez, you're just a baby, huh?
Well, when Randy was talking about, you know, not being one of those guys who has to go into the gym and lift as much weight as he can and injure himself, I was thinking he's talking about me. I tore a couple hamstring muscles off the bone middle of last year, right before the Olympia, and I did not go and have the surgery. But quite frankly, I haven't been deadlifting, but my squats are just as strong as ever. So I don't know, you know. What can I say?
Yeah, I just don't need to. You know, a couple of times I still semi-strained, and I thought, you know, I don't need to do this. I don't need to do this. I don't have to lift 500-pound deadlifts or things like that. You, number one, you do not have to do those weights to build muscle. I know that for a fact.
No.
It's just for ego. You know, it's kind of, okay, at what age do we check our, do we finally check our ego at the door?
55. 55
is it
for
55?
Me.
Yeah, okay, so next year, or this year, actually this year, for it would be that for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be 56 this year, so as of this last injury, I'm finally starting to go, you know, maybe it's time for me to try a more bodybuilding type routine, more volume, and just lighten up on the weights. And I'm having good results with that right now.
It's fun. I think it's even more fun. I enjoy. I can't wait to go down to the gym now, knowing that I don't have to break that. I don't have to lift that. You know,
right.
I'm just gonna go down, and I'm gonna let the muscle work the weight. I'm tired of letting the weight throw the muscle all over the place.
I just need to have a shirt made that says I used to lift heavier.
I did. Yeah, at the back. Really, I did.
You know, because I was so proud of myself last year. I mean, my lifts were getting heavier and heavier and heavier, and I was so proud of myself because I'm, you know, 55 years old, and I had some guy one day come to me at the gym watching me. I was deadlifting, and he said, "You know, I used to lift heavy like that." And I said, I looked at him, and he was probably around my age too. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, so did I, but now I lift heavier. And I was so proud of that statement that I put it on Facebook. And then a few months later, I ripped two muscles off a bone. And I thought, well, there you go. You smart ass. This is what happened. Bragging like that. Now look what you did to yourself. So anyway,
that's funny.
Anyway, listen, I want to thank both of you for coming on the show to talk about this. Larry Scott was an amazing bodybuilder. He had a physique that is enviable in today's terms, drug using or drug free. And the best part is that he maintained his love of physical culture. So many of them, you know, like even Arnold, I mean, you know, so many of them, they make their mark in physical culture and bodybuilding, and then they abandon it to use it as a springboard to do something else. But Larry continued to train his entire life. And I think that's wonderful.
Absolutely. You know, and I Carl and Randy, I personally want to thank you guys for allowing me to come out here onto the show and to talk about Larry. And I want to thank all the listeners and everybody that's out there that's shown such amount of love and support, not just to myself, but also to Larry's family. And, you know, that needs to be acknowledged as well.
Yeah. LarryScott.com and, of course, NationalFitness.com and, of course, RandyRoach.ca. To learn more about the Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, the single greatest contribution to physical culture on paper and print that you will ever see. Thanks so much for being on the show, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. Also want to thank Dr. John Reed for coming on and talking about the unspoken side effects of antidepressants. And, of course, tomorrow is Friday. So we'll have Casual Friday, and I will be in the studio with the prettiest woman I know. And that makes me a lucky guy. We'll see you tomorrow.
Asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.